the five leading teams are arriving at the Yukon River. Hugh Neff was first, and then John Baker. Good morning, I'm Steve Heimel.
Support for APRN Iditarod coverage comes from Wells Fargo, providing financial tools and resources for purchasing a home or planning for the future. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A.
As the frontrunners hit the Yukon, we have a real race with the lead apparently up for grabs. Martin Boozer may have been the first into the halfway checkpoint at the ghost town of Iditarod, but he was not the first one out. Sebastian Schnulla blew through the Iditarod checkpoint at around 6 p.m. yesterday, having camped out before Iditarod. He gave up his lead a few hours later when he took a break along the trail. As Boozer continued to rest at Iditarod, Hugh Neff got his team moving again at 6:15 p.m. Boozer followed 15 minutes later. He had taken more rest there than Neff, who took about three-quarters of an hour less time getting there than Boozer had. John Baker and Lance Mackey with his nine dogs have also been taking on Boozer. And now there are nine teams within an hour of each other in the front of the pack. Ray Reddington Jr., Sonny Lindner, Schnulla, Ramey Smith with his 15 dogs, and Dallas Seavey are all in the chase. As sunny skies and warm temperatures prevail during the day, mushers are choosing to run at night. The trail usually hardens when the temperature drops at night, making for faster time and better footing for the dogs. But as APRN trail reporter Tim Bodoni reports from Anvik, those conditions apparently did not happen last night for the teams vying for the lead.
After leaving the checkpoint at Iditarod, trailbreakers driving four wide-track snow machines had to make a fresh trail through chest-deep snow for 27 miles, reaching a new BLM shelter cabin at the Big Yetna River. Alaska Ultra Sport biker Aiden Harding from England took on that section of trail shortly after the trailbreakers on Wednesday night and had a rough go at it.
Very, very soft, like sinking up to my knees, even within the tracks of where the snow machines had been quite frequently. I was definitely pushing my bike up the hills and then pushing down quite a few of the hills as well down the other side. So it was a pretty long night, really.
The trail between the new shelter cabin and Shagaluk has seen some snow machine traffic this winter, and trailbreakers reportedly had an easier time grooming that section. Mushers also seem to pick up their pace after the shelter cabin, averaging close to 8 miles per hour according to the online GPS tracker. The soft section of trail before that slowed them down to roughly half of that speed. As mushers reach the Yukon, they turn north, and as usual for this time of year, head into the wind. North winds between 10 and 20 miles per hour are expected to continue for the next few days, along with clear skies and daytime high temperatures around 20 above. The lower Yukon Valley forecast also expects the overnight lows to stay a few degrees above zero, not quite cold enough to firm up the trail to the mushers' preference. Reporting in Anvik, this is Tim Bodoni.
This is the first year that GPS units are officially being allowed on the race trail. Officials called it a safety issue. Opinions are divided on whether this is a good thing or not. Dallas Seavey says there are some advantages, but not of a kind to give anyone a real winning edge.
Sled dogs decide the winner. It's going to make it more comfortable or less comfortable for us when we see how friggin' slow we're going out there. But beyond that, it's not going to help us find the trail. I don't think it's going to decide the outcome of the race.
Lance Mackey says he wants no part of the GPSs. He thinks they are a distraction.
And those people who are carrying GPSs, nine times out of ten, are going to be paying attention to their GPS and not their dogs, and racing the dogs according to what they're capable of doing. I hope everybody carries one, because I think it's a huge disadvantage, in my opinion.
So you won't take one?
Absolutely not. Never. Ever. You wouldn't be able to ever convince me to do that.
Allie Zirkel takes a more pragmatic approach to the issue. She says it was obvious some people were using them last year despite their being illegal at the time.
So if the only way that they're going to make people follow the rules is to make it legal, then I guess that's what's got to happen.
Mushard said they do not think GPS gives anybody an advantage in finding shortcuts, saying they'd be more likely to be disqualified than improve their positions.
Follow the coverage of this year's Iditarod at APRN.org and on Twitter at APRN.
This is APRN.